that play. The trouble with me is, I always have to read that stuff by myself. If an actor acts it out, I hardly listen. I keep worrying about whether he's going to do something phony every minute. After I got the tickets to the lunch show, I took a cab up to the park. I should have taken a subway or something, because I was getting slightly low on dough, but I wanted to get off that damn Broadway as fast as I could. It was lousy in the park. It wasn't too cold, but the sun still wasn't out, and there didn't look like there was anything in the park except dog crap and globs of spit and cigar butts from old men, and the benches all looked like they'd be wet if you sat down on them. It made you depressed. And every once in a while, for no reason, you got goose flesh while you walked. It didn't seem at all like Christmas was coming soon. It didn't seem like anything was coming. But I kept walking over to the mall anyway, because that's where Phoebe usually goes when she's in the park. She likes to skate near the bandstand. It's funny, that's the same place I used to like to skate when I was a kid. When I got there, though, I didn't see her around anywhere. There were a few kids around, skating and all, and two boys were playing flies up with a softball, but no Phoebe. I saw one kid about her age, though, sitting on a bench all by herself, tightening her skate. I thought maybe she might know Phoebe and could tell me where she was or something. So I went over and sat down next to her and asked her, "Do you know Phoebe Caulfield by any chance?" "Who?" she said. All she had on was jeans and about 20 sweaters. You could tell her mother made them for her, because they were lumpy as hell. "Phoebe Caulfield. She lives on 71st Street. She's in the 4th grade over at..." "You know Phoebe?" "Yeah, I'm her brother. You know where she is?" "She's in Miss Cowan's class, isn't she?" the kid said. "I don't know. Yes, I think she is." "She's probably in the museum, then. We went last Saturday," the kid said. "Which museum?" I asked her. She shrugged her shoulders, sort of. "I don't know," she said. "The museum." "I know, but the one where the pictures are, or the one where the Indians are?"
"The one where the Indians."
"Thanks a lot," I said. I got up and started to go, but then I suddenly remembered it was Sunday. "This is Sunday," I told the kid. She looked up at me.
"Oh, then she isn't."
She was having a hell of a time tightening her skate. She didn't have any gloves on or anything, and her hands were all red and cold. I gave her a hand with it. Boy, I hadn't had a skate key in my hand for years. It didn't feel funny, though. You could put a skate key in my hand 50 years from now in pitch dark, and I'd still know what it is. She thanked me and all when I had it tightened for her. She was a very nice, polite little kid. God, I love it when a kid's nice and polite when you tighten their skate for them or something. Most kids are. They really are. I asked her if she'd care to have a hot chocolate or something with me, but she said no thank you. She said she had to meet her friend. Kids always have to meet their friend. That kills me. Even though it was Sunday and Phoebe wouldn't be there with her class or anything, and even though it was so damp and lousy out, I walked all the way through the park over to the Museum of Natural History. I knew that was the museum the kid with the skate key meant. I knew that whole museum routine like a book. Phoebe went to the same school I went to when I was a kid, and we used to go there all the time. We had this teacher, Miss Egeltinger, that took us there damn near every Saturday. Sometimes we looked at the animals, and sometimes we looked at the stuff the Indians had made in ancient times, pottery and straw baskets and all stuff like that. I get very happy when I think about it, even now. I remember after we looked at all the Indian stuff, usually we went to see some movie in this big auditorium, Columbus. They were always showing Columbus discovering America, having one hell of a time getting old Ferdinand and Isabella to lend him the dough to buy ships with, and then the sailors mutinying on him and all. Nobody gave too much of a damn about old Columbus, but you always had a lot of candy and gum and stuff with you, and the inside of that auditorium had such a nice smell. It always smelled like it was raining outside, even if it wasn't, and you were in the only nice, dry, cozy place in the world. I loved that damn museum. I remember you had to go through the Indian room to get to the auditorium. It was a long, long room, and you were only supposed to whisper. The teacher would go first, then the class. You'd be two rows of kids, and you'd have a partner. Most of the time, my partner was this girl named Gertrude Levine. She always wanted to hold your hand, and her hand was always sticky or sweaty or something. The floor was all stone, and if you had some marbles in your hand and you dropped them, they bounced like madmen all over the floor and made a hell of a racket, and the teacher would hold up the class and go back and see what the hell was going on. She never got sore, though, Miss Eggletinger. Then you'd pass by this long, long Indian war canoe, about as long as 3 goddamn Cadillacs in a row, with about 20 Indians in it, some of them paddling, some of them just standing around looking tough, and they all had war paint all over their faces. There was one very spooky guy in the back of the canoe, with a mask on. He was the witch doctor. He gave me the